Bernard de Montreal. Preparatory Communication Number 15. The Antichrist. The phenomenon of the Antichrist is probably the most fascinating and mysterious of all the phenomena of modern evolution. Whether religious, theological or esoteric and occult, this phenomenon bears within itself the fruits of the greatest perplexity and brings man to a fundamental question concerning the future of humanity and the circumstances that will allow man to overcome the influence of the forces of evil on his planet, or to perish with it. The question of the Antichrist is so present in some people, and it will become more and more so in the masses, that it must, at some point, be started in its explanation, in order to give men a perspective of the points of reference, allowing them to judge this infamous figure or character, whose name alone bears witness to the powers of satanic evil on our planet. If we return a little to the sources of John's revelation and we study these sources from a totally supramental point of view, we receive the following information: the character of the Antichrist should reflect all the attributes of cosmic intelligence, cosmic power, and cosmic forces, that this character can perform all the tasks that he must perform without obstruction. This means that no power can interfere with the natural progression of the life plan that this character will have to manifest. The cosmic intelligence of this character will be given to him by a phenomenon of superimposition of satanic spiritual intelligence on a human brain. Any superimposition of satanic intelligence on a human brain makes it incapable of submitting to a force other than the one which dominates it. The Antichrist will possess all the gifts of clairvoyance, premonition, and prediction. These gifts will allow him to precisely control his personal movements and those of the people around him who will help him. He will have satanic power, which means he will be able to confuse, with great ease, the spirits who are more or less subject to influence. His power will be a tenfold manifestation of satanic power and will allow him to control, at will, material events, and to give him, over matter, total control. With the help of power, he will be able to add to the confusion by manifesting such concrete illusions before men that they can only be overcome with great discernment. The Antichrist represents, on a material level, the force, and totally opposed to what we call Christ. He has been called Antichrist because the vibration that acts in him and dominates him corresponds to the primary negative aspect of the vibration of Christ, whose fundamental quality is love and service. In the Antichrist, it will be hate and domination. The Trinity of the three numbers 666. The number of what has been called the beast represents this. The first number 6 coincides with the order and satanic numerology, so 6 represents the satanic father, the satanic will, that is, Lucifer. The second number 6 still represents in satanic numerology the son of the father, that is, the Antichrist himself, the opposite of the Son of the Absolute Father, known as Christ. And the last number 6 still represents in satanic numerology the number of the spirit, Satan. And this satanic trinity has in its numerical addition 6 plus 6 plus 6, which make 18, which make 9, and 9 still representing in satanic numerology the 9 principles of deception. These 9 principles of deception will be explained to you shortly afterwards. You must notice that we are talking about a satanic trinity, and we're talking about a trinity of the forces of light. In the satanic trinity, Lucifer is the Father, the Antichrist is the Son, and Satan is the Spirit. In the Trinity of Light, the Absolute Father is Jehovah, the Son is Christ, and the Spirit is represented by the forces of light, whose leader, the Avenger, is known in Christianity as Michael the Archangel. Hence, there are two trinities, since there are the forces of light and the forces of evil, or the forces of darkness. In both cases, in both trinities, there is an evolutionary cycle, an ascension cycle, and a terminal cycle, a cessation of activity. The cycle of cessation of activity of the satanic trinity is about to manifest itself. After this cycle, a new cycle will begin, and it will be a cycle of light. The Antichrist represents much more materially than what the Book of John reveals to us. First of all, it represents 4 important points. The first, the invisible satanic power. The second, satanic cosmic power. The third, partial satanic intelligence. And the fourth, the perfect Luciferian intelligence. The fundamental difference between partial satanic intelligence and perfect Luciferian intelligence is this: satanic partial intelligence is proportional to the level of human consciousness. The more conscious man is, the less satanic intelligence can, on the material level, influence man. Luciferian perfect intelligence, on the other hand, represents the total capacity of Luciferian forces to generate in the lower worlds new conditions, allowing the continuity, in other cycles of evolution, of the satanic presence on a planet, or a region of any galaxy. The more man becomes conscious, the more the influence of satanic intelligence decreases on the planet, and the more the cycles of evolution of Luciferian intelligence are delayed. This point is extremely important because it allows us to understand that man has the power, according to his level of consciousness, to delay Luciferian evolution, that is, to delay the activation, inactivity, in the lower worlds, of conditions that eventually allow the continuity of evil, at one level or another of its evolution in the galaxy. Although man does not have the power to interfere with Luciferian intelligence in terms of the architecture of its evolution, He has the power to delay the activation of this architecture by an ever greater clarity of his consciousness. Within the architectural structures created by the perfect Luciferian intelligence. Such that if one day man were to reach a total and perfect level of consciousness, he would be able, even on a material level, to totally transmute matter and spiritualize it, and automatically to remove it from luciferic power, that is, to totally remove the material quality of planetary gravity from it. Any matter free of gravity is automatically free of Luciferian influence. The reason is that gravity is a source of energy that the Luciferian intelligence uses to maintain its will on the lower worlds. From this will and its application result the living conditions, the conditions of material evolution to which the evolving souls are attached. As long as there is gravity, luciferic forces possess an incarnation power over souls. It will later be demonstrated that there is a direct relationship between the law of incarnation and the law of gravity. Without this law of gravity, souls would remain in contemplation in the divine light. But on the other hand, souls would not have the opportunity to acquire, through experience, the very vast knowledge they need to appreciate the divinity to its true value. If we go back to the Antichrist, we discover two things. First, the Antichrist must agree with the Spirit of the Father, not the Father himself. This is an important position, if we compare it with Christ, who must agree with the Father above the Spirit. In other words, in the case of the Antichrist, the convention, the relationship, is with the Spirit, that is, with Satan, and not with Lucifer, because the Father of the Satanic Trinity is not an absolute Father. Not being an absolute Father, he does not possess absolute power over the Son, the Antichrist. On the other hand, Christ, in relation to the Absolute Father, must agree with the latter, because the Absolute Father possesses, in relation to Christ the Son, an absolute relationship. This leads us to determine that the filiation bond between the Antichrist and Satan is a bond determined by spiritual relationships. While the bond of filiation between Christ the Son and the Absolute Father are both ministerial and perfect bonds. Only the forces of light have ministerial functions in the universe. The forces of darkness are bound together only by relationships of allegiance. And these relationships of allegiance are founded and welded within the framework of the perfect experience of evil, which is, in the full exploitation of Satan's resources in the exercise of his functions of domination. What gives Satan his power is not his absolute intelligence, because he does not possess an absolute intelligence. But it is his ability to intervene at the right time, where there is a possibility of confusion and of involution. From there, the nature of his intelligence, the nature of his lies, and from there, the ease that he possesses because the lack of discernment of men or in spiritual beings still prisoners of time. The Antichrist, or the Antichrist as others call him, represents as a physical character. The direct application of satanic intelligence on the material plane through a human personality totally enslaved to the energy of the last effort to create on the material plane a barrier to evolution. This barrier is based on the hope that man, in his ignorance, is psychologically forced to believe in miracles, to believe in the intervention of a higher power, to believe in any manifestation of a higher power. In other words, to the principle that man, being a person without discernment, cannot, alone or in mass, perceive behind the veil of illusion. And indeed, this is so, because man in his ignorance cannot totally possess discernment, and even despite his most spiritual desires, can easily be trapped in an undertaking of such great scope and whose modes and conditions exceed human understanding by several dice rolls. The Antichrist must agree with Satan in all his dealings with man. In other words, he must and is forced to subject all his actions, his slightest actions, to a superior, invisible intelligence, of which he is magically an expression. For this reason, the Antichrist must not have a soul, which means the energy of the soul must not be formed so that the character can, without interference, directly reflect black satanic intentions. If the Antichrist had a soul at all and if his soul was minimally formed, he would have the power, in certain moments of enlightenment, to separate himself from the purpose to which he is subjected to and would automatically influence the course of history. But the character being devoid of a soul, it is possible for him to express in all confidence the designs of destruction aimed at abolishing, in man, his real right to freedom and knowledge. The Antichrist is not only a man, he is the satanic spirit in man. It is the satanic intelligence using pre-animal energy in order to introduce, on a material level, a presence spectacular enough to generate confusion, emotion and adoration in the masses. When the time comes for this character to appear in the material world, on a global scale, some signs of nature will discover the presence of this character and update his arrival. I quote some of these signs. Its arrival will force certain spiritual entities, whose normal and natural occupation is to control and maintain the balance of wind and wind forces, to temporarily set aside their activities, so that, with their missing presence, the elements, the wind, on the Earth's surface, will become more and more powerful, stronger, and more destructive. When it is recognized that great windstorms are shaking some regions of the globe and devastating these regions, such events will mean the impending presence of this character. The waters will become unstable and seek to overflow their banks. Abnormal floods will lay off a large population, and these events will also be a warning sign. The ground will shake all over the planet, in places where calm used to prevail. Major volcanic activity will spread terror in some areas where these activities had previously been either non-existent or slow. Note that natural forces, on the material level, are directly related to the activities of the spiritual forces that govern the evolution of the rains on the planet. And the important point to note with the coming of the Antichrist is that these forces, these spiritual intelligences, acting for the benefit of man, will have to withdraw temporarily. And it is because of their lack of service that man will experience, on the planet, the violence of the elements. When the spiritual forces cease their natural and normal activities, the ethers of the planet become blurred, and disorder begins to reign on its surface. But in this disorder, the spirit of man will awaken somewhat, and a deep fear will arise in him, reminding him that these events had been written. The Antichrist character will allow man to recognize the power, reality, and satanic power on the planet Earth. But not all men will see in this character the danger. That is why many will be attracted by the occult magnificence of a material representative of the forces of destruction and involution. While the black forces will try, by any means necessary, to influence the masses of the world and delay the evolution of consciousness and knowledge, the forces of light, the spiritual forces, the forces of service, will have to stand aside and look from afar at the abominable spectacle to be performed until its conclusion, on the material level. When man will have been sufficiently swept away in his alienation, a sudden reversal will be felt in the world, and another man will appear on the world stage. This man will be known as John and will represent the wise body of the Melchizedek on planet Earth. The coming, the recognition, the updating of his presence will represent for humanity the end of a cycle, which will be consumed by the elevation in the air of a certain number of men inside luminous spheres, whose purpose will be to transmute the spirit and the body of these men, in order to bring them back to the material plane endowed with the highest powers of the universal consciousness in man, allowing them access to a dimension parallel to space-time, but invisible. These men, endowed with the new powers they have acquired within these spheres of light, will be able to establish on the planet a new civilization independent of the civilization of the mortal race. These men will work in a totally free way, in totally occult conditions and impermeable to the mortal experience of man. The coming of the Antichrist character will serve to confuse and capture the world's imagination. The generalized pandemonium will convert masses and decrease the power of light in human consciousness. The whole world will be affected, because man will not yet have understood the real meaning of the words that say that light will come from the Western world. A very large number of beings spiritually prepared for the transfiguration of humanity will be the first to confuse light for the son of the jackal. The partition, the real and the unreal, will be so thin that only those who have been well prepared to recognize in themselves the seat of all decisions and judgments can face the world event without being disturbed internally by doubt. Men, by their nature, are not aware of their weakness, and believe too easily that in the face of supreme danger, they can stand upright and remain unshakable. But it is known that man is weak and that his weakness will easily become the jackal's prey. The prophecy has been rendered and described as it is to be lived, and today's man will recognize its reality. But today's man is asleep enough to recognize prophecy only after its advent. Such a man cannot ensure himself against, or free himself from the danger that threatens him. Given the grandiose and highly veiled plan of future humanity, the purpose of any prophecy or revelation is simply to prepare those who are already ready. Others must live their experience as prescribed, since they have not yet understood, through their experience, that those whose language is untied by the Spirit, conferring with man outside the limits imposed by time, the Satanic Trinity will impose its design on man, and the latter will see in a unique way in his contemporary experience that the unreal is real, and that the real is its opposite when the spirit is awakened, and the intelligence is fed by the forces of light. 10 years will have passed before the formidable power of the powers that prohibit mankind from freedom, knowledge and conscience rises to the surface of our globe. After the destruction of this character, men will feel relieved, but they will not yet have understood what they have experienced, since everything is in the Spirit, and everything is measured by the Spirit. It is obvious that not all spirits have and will have the same clarity. After the destruction of the Antichrist character, a glimmer of hope will rise in man. But unfortunately, this hope will be shortened by the greatest conflict that our civilization has ever known. Judged by the forces of light, in the order of its destruction, this conflict will be brought to an end in order to save the planet and those who will have to work on another plane of evolution, within the framework of a totally renewed and totally balanced science. Then, the great schools will come, the great centers of instruction and the permanent contact between man and the civilizations of outer space. The preparation of man for tomorrow has already begun. The understanding of man for tomorrow can only be gradually achieved, as he learns to know himself and to recognize in himself who he is. Where is he? Where is he going? And where is he going? These answers can only be given by consciousness, and consciousness can only grow through experience.